As they walked along, Santa described to Mrs. Riley the many sadnesses and tribulations that had comprised Old Lady Lopez's dismal existence. Finally, Santa said,
"I think I'll send her family a mass."
"Lord,"
Mrs. Riley said, overcome by Old Lady Lopez's biography,
"I think I'll send a mass, too, for the repose of that poor woman's soul."
"Irene!" Santa screamed. "You don't even know them people."
"Well, that's true,"
Mrs. Riley agreed weakly. When they arrived at the theater, there was some discussion between Santa and Mr. Robichaud over who was going to buy the tickets. Mrs. Riley said that she would if she didn't have to meet a payment on Ignatius's trumpet before the week was out. Mr. Robichaud was adamant, though, and Santa at last let him have his way.
"After all," Santa said to him as he handed tickets to the two ladies, "you're the ones got all the money."
She winked at Mrs. Riley, whose mind had wandered again to that sign that Ignatius refused to explain to her. During most of the movie, Mrs. Riley thought about Ignatius's rapidly decreasing salary, the payment on the trumpet, the payment on the wrecked building, the earring, and the sign. Only Santa's happy exclamations of,
"Ain't she precious?"
and
"Just take a look at that cute dress she's got, Irene!"
brought Mrs. Riley back to what was happening on the screen. Then something else drew her from her meditations about her son and her problems, both of which were really the same thing. Mr. Robichaud's hand had gently covered and was now holding hers. Mrs. Riley was too afraid to move. Why did movies always seem to make the men she had known, Mr. Riley and Mr. Robichaud, amorous? She stared blindly at the screen, on which she saw not Debbie Reynolds cavorting in color, but rather Jean Harlow taking a bath in black and white. Mrs. Riley was wondering if she could easily wrench her hand out of Mr. Robichaud's and bolt from the theater when Santa cried,
"Just watch it, Irene! I bet you little Debbie's gonna have her a baby!"
"A what?"
Mrs. Riley screamed wildly, bursting into crazy, loud tears that didn't subside until the frightened Mr. Robichaud took her maroon head and placed it carefully on his shoulder.